Hello, Tower Bottoms. It's me, your host, Zach Nui Towers, and I might be coming to perform at a city near you. That's right, I'm going on a mini pride tour this June. So if you are in Nashville, Tennessee, check me out at Zany's Nashville on June 23rd. That's a Thursday night. I'll be in Chicago at the Zany Chicago downtown June 24th and 25th. That's four chances to see me total. And then Sunday, June 26th, Pride Sunday, maybe the gayest day of the year, I will be doing a one night, one show at the Milwaukee Improv Lab. So grab a ticket and come see me.
Yeah, more. Give it to me. Yeah, more. Good morning, sodomites. With Zach Nui Towers.
Kara Klink.
Oh my gosh.
Hi.
Hi. It's so great to be here.
Fantastic. Comedian, writer, actress. Do you act?
I do.
Okay.
I do. You know, right before pandemic, I was on an episode of Corporate and I booked a commercial and I was like, am I an actress? And then the world ended. So I don't know. I audition here and there. It's
Same.
Not my main focus,
right.
But I do audition and yeah, available.
Truly.
Available for all of the casting directors that listen and watch your podcast.
And so funny. Such a treat on stage. Also, you have a podcast. That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast.
Yes.
With Lisa Traeger.
Yep. It's
amazing.
If you're into SVU, we are the pod for you.
And you know what? I bet a lot of my listeners would be so pumped that you have written for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, past tense.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. What was that? Can you tell anything about what
sure.
it was like?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've talked about it on so many podcasts. So if anyone listens to some of the other draggy podcasts, it was tough for me only because I had a 5-week-old baby when I started working there.
I got
the job and was like, well, this is one of my favorite shows. I'm not going to turn this down.
Yeah.
And my husband went out of town for 2.5 months. So I just had to like string together like babysitters and like working late at Drag Race. And so it was like a little bit intense for me, but I had a great time. I don't necessarily care if I ever do it again, but I like loved it.
Sure.
I loved working with the queens a lot.
I
got to work with the queens on certain like challenges and I thought that was so, so fun and I had a blast. And then, you know, I kind of like when pandemic was rolling around and there was all these restrictions and stuff, I think they were not hiring as many people anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were even going to have me back, but I was like, well, if this was so much, this was a lot of work. It was a lot of stress. And then if I don't even get to interact with the queens because of COVID restrictions,
right.
then I don't know. So I still talk to a bunch of people there that I am pals with. And I like, you know, I still watch the show religiously. I'm very into it. But yeah, you know,
what does it mean to be a writer on that show?
I think that's changing all the time.
Okay.
Because I was a writer side by side with a writer who's been there since like season 5. So
wow.
It was just me and him mostly writing a lot of it. And then another guy came in to help us with like Rusical and other stuff like that. And I'm still in touch with both of them. They're my friends. But then I think like in COVID or in past years, I think what they're doing more is they're saying, oh, you're a fan of Drag Race. You're a comedian or a writer. Come in for like a week. Do brainstorms with us and then
is that shady?
And then bye. I don't know. Like it feels like a lot of it is like brainstorming ideas, brainstorming challenges. And then I was writing like scripts day to day, but they were getting like changed by the executive producers anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe they were like, do we really need her?
Right.
But like I did write some big like I wrote the Gay's Anatomy challenge in season 12.
Cool.
Like I got to like work on the SheMZ and All Stars and like, you know, and like I got to coach them through when they did stand up and stuff. So like that stuff was all fun. And like, it was great, but like I think maybe they were like, yeah, we could just get like a bunch of people and
sure.
do. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Sorry, Drag Race. I don't know.
No,
you're speaking
very highly of it.
Yeah, no. And I think like that, I don't think anybody necessarily. Well, my friend who actually came in to work on Rusical stuff with us, he sort of came back. So I think it's like the two of them that are doing most of the writing.
Sure.
And then the rest of it is like, we know many like, you know, queer and fun comedians
yeah.
that have like been called in to like just do
punch up.
Yeah. Brainstorm. You know, that kind actually, of thing.
Okay. So it sounds like a dream gig kind of, if you have a week empty in your schedule, to be like, yeah, I'll come in and like spitball ideas.
And a lot of people said they were like on Zoom. So easy.
Great.
I mean, I liked going to the set every day. Like it was fun to have, like, I mean, I worked there from like May to August. So it was like a chunk of my year and I had a good time, like having a steady job, but, yeah, you know,
steady job.
There's so few of those. Like, I know.
I'm like, I actually was during the pandemic when I was on unemployment and I was getting a regular check and I was like, this is lovely to know exactly what you're like
what getting,
getting every week.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure. But yeah, like I think the fact that it was like regular was like the only way that I could handle that with the fact that I had like a new baby at home.
That's
and was
wild.
Like a new mom and was like coming in every day to Sylmar, California.
Your first baby.
My first baby. Yeah.
Wow.
I've since had a second baby.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I almost said, do you love that you had babies? Has that always been like a big part?
Yeah, I've always wanted to have kids. I used to think I was going to have four kids. And now that I've had two, I'm like, I'm good.
Also in LA, which is a feat in itself.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, I used to think I would have four kids and live in New York City. Like I was delusional. I was delusional.
Yikes.
And when I met my husband, he was like, and what are we going to live in like a $7 million brownstone? Like what? How is this happening?
Talk this
and
out.
I was like, yeah, I guess I like never thought about how much these little fuckers cost. And like, but I think I still would have a third if my husband could handle it. But I think he is like, I'm done with two.
Well,
which is
point,
fine.
At some point, they start to contribute to like the household.
Yeah,
and like the oldest can watch the youngest.
We're a ways off. I mean, okay. I have a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old, but yeah, okay. We're a ways off from actual like. But you know, the 3-year-old, I say, go throw that in the garbage for me. Can you go get that for me? She does do things for me.
Oh.
So we're on our way to my own little indentured servants, and I can't wait.
I love. Okay, so sex podcast.
Sex podcast, which I found out about, reader, 5 minutes ago.
I try to warn people. I try to give it like a little heads up, but you're not the first person to walk in the door and be like, what are we talking about? I'm like, your sex life. And they're like, gulp.
Perfect.
Okay, so how, when you say you have sex with someone, like how do you define sex?
Oh, I guess I'm so square on that. I would just be like penetration.
Sure.
I think what I grew up saying was hooked up.
Yeah.
Like we hooked up would be all the other, like any of the other stuff and sex. But then if I had sex with someone, I feel like it's like we had penis and vagina.
Penis and vagina.
Yeah.
Okay. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the first thing that ever made you horny or aware of sex?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't know the first thing.
I mean, for me, it was like Disney princes and like the underwear aisle at like Target or whatever, you know, like the bulge in the tidy whitey.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's nice. I mean, here's the thing. I remember being like very late to sex. Like I'm very late to all of it. Like I'm a late bloomer for sex. I'm an early bloomer for like everything else. Like I was like 10, I'm the oldest of 6 kids.
Oh,
I was like 10 years old, like running my house, but I was never like, when am I going to get a boyfriend? You know what
sure.
I mean? Like it wasn't until like later in my life where I was like, I need to like start focusing more on like dating. Cause I would like hook up and like see what happened, but I was never focused on it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, I don't even remember. I remember in 8th grade putting up posters of Brad Pitt and Keanu Reeves and like Chris O'Donnell and all these guys that were like the hotties I was growing up.
Yeah.
But being like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh,
do you know
gosh.
What I mean? Like not, and being like, oh, those are cute men, but never going to sleep dreaming of Brad Pitt kissing me. Do you know what I mean? Like I was so young.
And you were running a household.
And I was, you know, I had kids to manage and how like basements to clean and floors to sweep. But yeah, like, so I think I was just late on all that. And I am the oldest. So it's not like I had an older brother or an older sister
like,
who was kind of like, where I found a bad magazine. And I will say that I was kind of obsessed with Cinemax. It's like Skinemax
stuff when
I was younger. And like I had a brother a year younger than me and a sister a year younger than that. So we're 1, 2, 3. And we were like, when my parents would go out, we would just be like, what's the nasty shit we can watch? And so like, I do remember watching that stuff like sixth, seventh, eighth grade and just being like, huh. But I don't even think I knew, like when people would be like riding each other, I don't think I knew like a penis was going into a vagina. You know, I was just like, wow. And I remember like my sister and I just thought French kissing was just pressing your lips really hard to the other person. So I think that the Cinemax stuff probably is like what kicked off a lot of the like, whoa, but it always felt like, and I used to call phone sex lines. What am I talking about? I go, wow, I was a really late bloomer. And now I'm like and now I'm fully like, actually, like we, back in the day, there were like all these numbers you could call, like 1-800-555-CUNT or whatever, or like 1-800-555-SLUT or whatever these numbers were. And they were all 800 numbers that you would call and you were like, oh, they're free, so I won't get in trouble. But then they would just prompt you to call a 900 number. Like you would call and there'd be like a sexy voice. You'd be like, if you want to talk to me, call 900, blah, blah. And then we went on vacation one time. I was probably in fifth or sixth grade and my sister and brother and I made a ton of phone calls my mom is a doctor and one of her partners in her practice let us use his family home in Massachusetts. We just found the basement phone and we were like, hell yeah. And we just ran up like $300, at the time was $1 million.
Yeah, it's of still like not nothing.
Of like fucking just calling these sex lines and like hanging up before we could even, because it's like there's a connection fee. You know what I mean? Like this is all shit that I'm sure some of your younger listeners are like, what is she even talking about? Like what's a rotary phone? But like that's like, so I think I was always intrigued, but I was, for me, sex seemed like a thing in the movies or a thing on the end of the phone line and not like a thing that I was. My mom also was very cat. Like I grew up Jewish because my parents met. My mom was Catholic. She's one of 14 kids. My dad is Jewish.
Oh my God.
A single, an only child. And so they were like, let's have a bunch of kids. But my dad was like, I want them to be Jewish. And my mom was like, I don't care. She was like a non-practicing Catholic at that point, but she still had a lot of Catholicism stuck
baby,
up
baby,
there.
Baby.
Babies are so important and no sex before marriage. I'm almost positive my parents had sex before marriage. And that my mom has had sex with other people. But to me, she was like, no sex before marriage. And so I just thought, you don't do that. You just don't do that. You know?
Yeah.
And so I didn't lose my virginity for a really long time because I was like, nope, it has to be somebody it doesn't have to be marriage, but it has to be somebody I'm like in love with.
Sure.
You know?
Wait, was it ever waiting till marriage? Did you ever like put that?
I probably, but like, who knows what marriage is when you're like in ninth grade or whatever. Like, I didn't even really know what, I was just like, oh, I'm not having sex for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not until I'm in my 20s or whatever, you know?
We're gonna get there. Do you remember your first orgasm? Or the first time you like discovered your body? Have you had an orgasm?
Yeah, with my husband, for sure. Yeah, I remember it. It was in New York, in my old apartment.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. Because I will say I had not had one before that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was it like an evasive thing? Like, was it something you were trying to have or aware people were other were having? Or were you ever like...
I sort of have always known that I was like not easy to have them the way other people are. But I think a lot of women don't have them and people don't talk about it.
Truly.
You know? So... Like I have had talked to friends where we've been like, we never have them pretty much. I mean, I still like enjoy sex a lot, you know, it's just like, and then I don't know, maybe for me, it was just like, it couldn't happen until it was like really with somebody that I like loved.
Oh.
I know that sounds like so lame, but
so
like,
lame.
You know,
I think
for me, I was like maybe self-conscious and was like, once I started like, you know, being with my husband, I was like, oh, this is like easy and
sure.
You know.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm such a proponent of sex that's not like goal oriented or like orgasm oriented.
Yes.
A lot of people still think, you know, sex is penetration that leads to both people coming. And if you don't do that, like it wasn't, you know, a fulfilling experience.
Right.
But there's so much. And that's why I'm trying to expand the definition of sex too.
Wait,
to,
I know like, you brought a square like me on your pod.
No, I mean, I grew up that same way. Like,
yeah.
I had moments where people were like, well, then you're a virgin because you haven't put your penis in a vagina. It's like, I am not a virgin. Like, it's gone. Sex is gone.
Well, the whole concept of virginity is so stupid anyway. It's like a fully created thing
wild.
To like shame women.
But I still find myself asking, I use the word on this podcast, which is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
brought it up before. Yeah.
No. Do you remember your first sexual experience with another person?
Like my first kiss?
Sure.
Yeah, my first kiss was at summer camp with a guy that I am still friends with. And he has dated one of my good friends for a long period of time. And yeah, I was like 15. I'm telling you, like everything was late for me. I was 15 for the first kiss. And then he was like the first person I like hooked up with too.
Okay.
Yeah.
At summer camp.
At summer camp.
Summer camp is... I wish I could tell you what percentage of people have sat in that chair and said summer
Talked
camp.
About summer camp.
Summer camp.
Summer camp is so horny. But like the other thing is my summer camp is all girls and then all boys are down the street.
Oh my.
So you just don't have that many opportunities. And so we really maximized our moments. Like we kissed at a dance and then it was like there was a plan for them to all sneak over to our camp at night because I was in the oldest unit and we didn't have counselors with us at night.
Okay.
So we could kind of get away with that kind of stuff.
Ooh, ads.
And, but yeah, like co-ed camps, I have friends that have been counselors and I'm like, I could not handle that. It's just stopping kids from humping all the time, like rubbing up on each other constantly. And like, I was like, there was enough with like girl on girl stuff at my camp that I was like, I would not want to add guys into the mix here.
Did you ever make out with any of your girlfriends?
Yeah. One time.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time I made out with a friend at camp.
And how was it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I bet, especially because you said feeling comfortable with your partner to have an orgasm, like you probably felt comfortable making out with a girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely am like straight. I've only like pretty much been with men. I made out with a girl one time. But I was like, I don't know, in the future, my husband's out of the picture. I don't know. I don't think I'd close myself off to it.
I aspire to be like pansexual one day where I'm just like, you know, ever equal opportunity in the bedroom.
Who knows?
Truly, who knows? Oh, you jogged something for... Oh, this guy. So first kiss and first like hand stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Down the pants stuff.
But it was a good experience?
Yeah, I was kind of like, I remember being like, what is this? I have to say, like, fingering has never been a thing that I like. And I think that that's a thing that, like, most guys need to know that it's like they're doing it wrong. They're like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys are doing it completely wrong. So I was like, okay, I was just like, okay. And I think I was just like excited to be like, okay, I got my first kiss out of the way. And I'm like, and now, you know, whatever. And yeah, I was like caught up in it, probably summer camp, you know.
Yeah, the romance of it all.
Yeah,
also the sneaking the boys and girls down the road from each other and like sneaking onto.
Oh, that's like when we were all hooking up, we were like in a dark like area of camp, like where we were not that far away from each other. Like all these couples were hooking up, and it was like I could sort of hear what people were doing, and I was just like, this is so crazy.
Oh,
you know?
God.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's too, like, looking back, like, the counselors absolutely knew.
No, because then I became a counselor and, like, became friends with all my old counselors. And, like, they definitely didn't know about that. But there are, like, in our camp lore, so many questions about, like, this girl's missing from her tent. This guy's missing from his tent. They both show up back at camp. She has jizz on her shorts. You know, like, we have so many things like that. Like, so many things. Like,
it's like your SVU podcast.
Yeah. Like, we've just had so, there are so many things in the lore of, like, people just getting in trouble for hooking up. And like, you know, this was like a summer camp where our director would call us out if we had our bra strap showing, you know?
Oh,
so it was like, you couldn't really be, it was like not, the vibe was not slutty at my camp. So they definitely didn't want to send any girls home like pregnant or anything like that. So like when you were a camper, you only saw boys like maybe four times a summer, five times a summer, depending. Like there were two or three dances and then you could maybe go on a co-ed trip. Or like do a co-ed like sponge tag, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like some kind of little silly co-ed event, but you're not like hooking up.
Right, right, right.
You're flirting and writing a letter, and that's like cute old school summer camp romance. But we were like in our final year as counselors, and then we hooked up again a few years later as counselors.
Oh my gosh.
But that was like, we were super wasted and it was like whatever. And then he started dating my good friend, and we actually, he is a great guy and I'm still friends with him, and he was hooking up with another girl I know years later, and he broke his penis. Have you ever talked to somebody who's broke their penis?
No.
So you think that it kind of isn't realistic to say broke because it's not a bone, right?
Okay.
But
I can think of ways.
I think he was going in for doggy and he hit the side of her butt cheek or something like that, and it just bent his penis in half, basically, and he had to go to the emergency room, and now he is like literally in textbooks about it.
No.
This is the guy I had my first kiss with, and he he will show it to anyone, the scar. He'll be like, oh yeah, you want to see? Like he'll talk to you about it. Like, it's so funny. He like completely owns it. He's like, yep, broke my dick. Like he's, he's really funny about it.
So you must have come out the other side with the dick.
I think hopefully. What happens is it's kind of like this is going to gross people out, but I think it's like a blood blister type of thing. True. And they had to probably just drain it and like ease the muscle back to being straight or something.
Oh,
I don't know if
God.
If there's probably a doctor that listens to this, that's going to like DM me and be like,
that's incorrect.
Talking out of your ass.
That's
yeah.
one of my
but
biggest.
that's I think like what happened. But he has like a little scar from it, maybe where they had to drain the blood. I don't know.
Ah!
But yeah, he fully broke his dick, and it's a very rare thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah,
guys really treasure their their erections.
He was going in for it, I guess.
Damn. Oh, I've actually heard a girlfriend who like was getting it doggy style, and the guy thrust, slipped, and slammed it into her butthole, and that was like a very bad experience.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Doggy seems to be a dangerous position.
Yeah.
So after this like makeout, this summer camp of love, what is that like? Was it off to the races after that, or were you still kind of like?
Not
did you
really
date
like
in high school.
In high school, not at all.
Okay.
Like I was just telling you before we got on mic that one of my best friends from high school lives like a block from here.
Yes.
And he like was gay, and I was like, he was like one of the guys I hung out with, you know what I mean? He wasn't gay then, but like, I mean, he was in the closet, and like I just hung out with like girls and guys that later became gay, like two or three, and it just wasn't an interest for me, really. Like, I was like, oh, that was fun, my little summer camp thing. I think it's like I just thought most of the guys I went to high school with were like douchebags.
Probably.
And then I went to like a high school in a really rich town, and then I went to a college that was really, really rich people. And like, I'm not rich. I always call myself rich adjacent. Like, I didn't want for anything, but like we shared rooms in my house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
we
yeah,
drove
yeah.
like the old car, but like
yes.
it wasn't like, oh, I turned 16 and I get a convertible.
Right.
Like the way that a lot of kids I went to school with were. So I guess I just like wasn't really attracted to a lot of people. And then when I got to high school, well, my senior year in high school, I did go on spring break to Cancun, and I made out with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But like then in college, I like would hook up, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But just drunk hookups and stuff. But I never was like, oh yeah, I like have a crush. I want to date that guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just didn't focus on it.
Good
it was
for
weird.
You. I mean, did you get good grades?
I mean, no, I focused on partying.
Oh.
Like I got decent grades. Like I love to be around people and I love to like have fun, but I just like the romantic part of it was like, I don't really, and like a lot of my friends weren't dating anyone.
Yeah.
We were just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I mean, people would date people for a few months or whatever. And then, but it wasn't like I knew some people that were in long-term relationships and I was like, that seems fine for them, but it didn't really seem like something I needed or wanted.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to this really small college in Connecticut called Trinity, and it's not Christian. It just was like literally called Trinity because it was founded on Trinity Street. And Tucker Carlson went there. Yeah, it's the worst. It's like, no, I loved the college. I had a great time in college. We just have some very Republican alumni.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that their vibe there, Republican?
The vibe is just a lot of money. And they're trying to change it. Like, they're really trying to be more, like, diverse, I think, financially, racially, at, like, all things.
Good.
Like, but they're really trying to, you know, join the now. So,
did you go for, what'd you go for?
I went, because I wanted to just go to a good school.
Sure.
And my mom was so obsessed with the college process that I was, like, trying to just get into the highest ranked school possible. And I got a degree in English creative writing and theater.
Oh,
yeah. So
brilliant.
It was like a double major and yeah.
Your mom, the doctor.
Yeah.
And you had, so what was the vibe about like sex in your house besides don't have it till you're married? Did you, you were the oldest. So I guess like the trickle down would come from you and it
didn't.
Yeah,
we just didn't. Like, I mean, like I said, we would watch Skinamax, my brother's sister, and I'd be like, yeah, like, let's see.
Oops.
Like, or we would like, there was like, we had the Playboy channel would become free like one time a week for like sweeps week, 1 week a year, excuse me.
Sure.
So like, we would be like, oh my God, and like watch all this, but we didn't know what we were even looking at. We were like, look at those boobs. Like,
yeah.
Like the vaginas on Playboy models look crazy. Like, I mean, it's like.
Do they show vaginas on Playboy?
Oh yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in the magazine, the vaginas on the women Austin look like just like a coin slot. Like they just look like slits. Boop. Yeah. And it's so weird because you're like, that's not what? And I don't know if they're, I don't know what they're doing. Like if that's like a requirement, but it's like nobody has like labia. Like they're just like, to me, it just looks like a coin slot. But, and that's the very limited I have seen of Playboy because I have not seen a lot of it. But like, I remember we found a Playboy in my dad's room and I thought, oh my God, my parents are going to get divorced. And I was like, And I like brought myself to tell my mom. I was like, Mama, I have to talk to you about something. And I told her about this Playboy that I found when I was making my parents' bed. Like I found it under the bed or something. And my mom was like, no, he reads it for the articles. They have very good articles. And I was like, oh, okay. But I remember being relieved at hearing that old cliche. I remember like, cause I didn't know. I was so young and I was like, oh, okay, good. Okay, so they're not going to get divorced. Oh,
thank God. My dad read. My dad knows how to read.
Yeah.
Are your parents still together?
By a thread.
Oh.
Now I'm like, get divorced, please. I wish the Playboy had done it.
You start sending subscriptions to his house.
Like, read more. Yeah.
Parents, man. I was going to ask if you thought they had like a successful love life.
I have no idea. I'll be honest. I never walked in on them or anything like that. We didn't really talk about it. My mom, a few times in my life, would be like, are you dating anyone? You know, really not like open. I would say that I'm very much striving to try to be more open with my kids. I'd really like to have like an open dialogue with them about like sex and like I'm in a bunch of mom groups and stuff on Facebook and like, I mean, everyone under 30 that listens to your podcast just turned it off. But
no.
Like, you're in these groups just because you can get a lot of free shit from rich ladies that are giving it away.
That's cool. Yeah, Should I join?
Honestly, I've gotten, like, a lot of good stuff. But, like, like one lady just said, like my kid, and I think this kid was like 8 or 9 or something like that. My kid just was like in a group of kids like that were yelling 69, 69. And like, she was like, how do I explain this? What do I talk? And it's like, she's like, I should probably get him a book. And like a lot of people were like, yeah, or just talk to him about it. Like, just like, you know, I'm trying to get into a rhythm of talking to my daughter about like I'm naked in front of her all the time. Okay. We call everything our body parts. I'm like, this is my vagina. Like, this is my boot. Like, she's like, can I touch your boobies? I go, sure, you can touch my boobies. Like, if she wants to touch them, she just puts her hand on them. You know what I mean? Like, I just try to be a lot like not put all of the like shame around nudity or around sex. You know, she's 3 this weekend. So it's not like we're talking about sex at all.
Sure.
Don't call CPS on me. I'm just starting with like the nudity and stuff. And like, I follow this Instagram called Consent Parenting. That's like talking to kids about like, you know, how they can, cause it starts really young of like who's allowed to touch your body and who, you know, so.
Wait, that's fascinating. Are you like a naked family?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not like how I grew up.
Right.
No.
But now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, I've always been like okay with nudity. Like I kind of walked around my apartment in New York naked all the time. And my husband was like, people can see you. I was like, and they've never seen a naked person before. Like I'm not going to work with them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like,
look away.
Know? Yeah. So I didn't really ever care. And, you know, I'm always down to like be topless in Europe or whatever, wherever it's socially acceptable. I'm down for that. Yeah, I think that my husband and I are just, we're naked in front of the kids. I was like feeding them with my boobs.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. It's so interesting where people draw these imaginary lines. And like, okay, so you can speak then to this as like a young parent. What is like kind of like the psychology of like introducing sex and vocabulary to like kids?
Well, I mean, they say a major thing is like always call everything by the anatomical thing. Like if you have little nicknames for stuff, then
it gets
confusing and kids can, someone can like come to them with like a, you know what I mean? Like,
miscommunication.
Yeah, there can just be all kinds of miscommunication, and it's like, you know, this is your vagina, and I do call her butt her booty, but she also knows it's like her butt. I don't call it like her anus or whatever, but like, you know, I'm like, wipe your booty when she's going to the bathroom. But yeah, I think that it just starts with like, yeah, naming things anatomically, like talking about who's allowed to touch your body and who, you know, like when you feel, you know, so
just being honest.
Yeah. Just being open and honest with stuff like that. Start that young. And then, I mean, she's literally, I mean, 3 is so, I think the sex stuff is a couple years away at least.
For sure.
But it's interesting because it's like I talked to my podcast. We talked about the Don't Say Gay on the podcast. Mm. And I was like, this is so gross and I hate it. And then I was saying, though, I was like, well, I guess one thing you could look at is that it only goes up to third grade, this bill. Mm. Like it's only like K through third grade. But then I was like, but that's wrong.
So
that's
weird.
When they're starting.
They're starting
to talk about that. Like, and from third grade to fourth grade, what's the difference? So now in fourth grade, you're just going to flood them with this information.
Yay.
Like, so I really just think it should. And people were like, it's not a teacher's job to bring up stuff that I don't feel comfortable with the kid talking about. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like, this is life. You got to just like get this out to kids.
Yo.
Like, I just think there's so much shame around everything. Like everything is so shamed based. Like religion is about shame and everything's about shame that it's like, I'm really trying to get my daughter to not be ashamed of anything except when she like throws things at me. I'm like, that's horrible that you did that.
I'm so disappointed.
God will not accept you onto your own planet now. You know?
Oh, the shame thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really sad what shame and like fear can do. It can divert a person so far from living an authentic life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to like hang that heavy shit on my kids.
No.
Like I want them to just be, and I think they're going to live in LA. They live in a progressive area, a progressive city. I think they're going to already be very like, I was saying to like my friend, I was like, God, our kids are going to be like, why are you even saying gay? Why are you even saying trans? It's like, who cares? They're all going to be like, who cares? Like, or I'm not going to be like, do you like girls or boys? Like, I'm sure my kids are going to be like, why would you even ask that?
Yeah,
what's the point?
Why do you want to know?
I hope we're at that, like, you know, gender sexual utopia.
We have to be approaching it. Cause I do think the same thought. It's so interesting that gay people have to come out as gay.
Yeah.
Because the only person it affects is the person you bring into your bedroom.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I literally, so I have a gay brother. And so my daughter because it starts so young that they see a man and a woman are together.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so like, you know, I was saying, you know how daddy is my partner and my Aunt Cookie has her partner, Uncle Tom, and Colin's partner is Joe. And she's like, okay, you know, like
yeah.
So it's like, we're just trying to, she'll grow up with that, which is great.
Amazing.
You know, and she loves them. So, and it wasn't like, I've always been like, it's so funny. Like I've always just like loved gay people so much. And like, you know, you can like, I've always just like loved everything about gay culture and my parents were very like, they're like, it's fine, but like, we don't agree with gay marriage and they don't, you know what I mean? Like,
just
or
like almost no reason.
Like I would write papers on gay adoption when I was like in ninth grade and be like totally pro. And my parents would be like, wait, what? And I would be like, yeah, it's actually way better for somebody to have a healthy family.
Yeah.
Even if it's two men or two women.
Right.
Than to not, to live without parents or
yeah.
whatever. My parents were like, it's just funny. I feel like something, I don't know what even, like I grew up in a conservative town with conservative parents. So it's probably, maybe it's a rebellion, but I've just like always been interested in like, Bette Midler was my obsession growing up. Like,
oh.
You know, like all gay icons and like just everything.
Yes.
And then like being drawn to like gay kids at school and like in my life. So it's just so funny to me how you can overcome these boundaries that your parents like, or yeah, it almost feels genetic. It feels like it's like in my genes.
Sure.
that I like this stuff. But
you also, your supreme big sister, so do you have a protective vibe?
Maybe that's it too, my brother Colin, though, I had to like fully, he's probably gonna be like, why are you talking about me on podcast? But like I had to fully be like, ask him
like
I had to be like, so is there anything you want to tell me? And he like totally knew, and he's very funny, so he was like making up all these like jokes, and I was like, Colin, like I think there's something else. And he was like, what? And I was like,
what ages was this?
I think he was like 20, honestly. I think it was like, yeah, like,
and he's right below you in the,
no, he's 7 years younger than me.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, why would you not tell me that? Like after he said, he told me yes, I was like, why would you not tell me this? He's like, I just assumed you knew. And I was like, I did not know. I mean, I had my thoughts, like, but I did not know for sure, because you know what I thought? I thought he's like me. He's got
just
my
like,
sense of humor as me. And I thought he's like me, where he's not going to really start dating until he's like later into his 20s. And he brought a girl home once for Christmas. Mm. It was a friend. And I was like, but you brought that pretty girl home. You know, like I was such a like old mom. And so, yeah, like I basically was like, I guess I did know, but I just kept thinking, oh, maybe you're just like me and it's gonna like hit for you
later. Yeah.
And yeah. So
what is it though too? Because you're not the first person either to be like, I grew up in this household, but I'm this type of person, or I have this, or like I had someone on the pod, I think, who did not get first communion because they were like, no, like I don't like
all of this. Good.
Which is crazy because that's second grade. Yeah. You know, it's like, but like obviously they were not
required. I didn't realize that. Yeah. I'm a Jew. I'm like, what is that, 10? Oh, second grade. Yeah, that's young.
I'm Catholic. I'm not practicing Catholic. I was baptized and I got my first communion, but I didn't know what was going on. And then confirmation is in eighth grade, roughly.
Right. I think that's what I thought.
Yeah. And I smelled bullshit by then. But yeah, maybe you're just a good person.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I think I like was like, I could just sense my parents didn't have a logic in it. Maybe when they would like tell me what their thoughts, I would be like, but so I don't know.
Wow.
But
are your parents Trump supporters?
They voted for Trump, but I would not go as far as to call them supporters.
Okay.
Like they don't have yard signs, they don't go to rallies. Sure. You know what I mean? They're just Republicans. Sure. Like they just are gonna vote Republican.
God damn it. Yeah. Yes.
They're just gonna vote Republican. Like they hate Hillary. They would never have voted for Hillary. They would never have voted for Biden. Like, wow. Yeah, they're just not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they still super rich? Oh no, they were rich.
They're not
Jason?
Really rich. Okay. At all.
Okay. Good. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's like it's yeah, no, it's like I know I'm like, oh, my mom's a doctor, but yeah, like not rich at sure. all. I mean, because it's like, yeah, pediatrician, I don't know, they make probably good money, but she had six kids.
Jesus.
And had to put
Christ.
Us through college. You know what I mean? Like, and then chose to move to a town where like the house is expensive and the taxes are expensive and everything. So it's like, you know, the money is gone.
Only goes so far. In your life, like, did you have like a peak horniness ever? Like where your sex drive really like popped?
Well, that's a good question. Probably like, honestly, when I like first started dating my husband, I was like very horny all the time. Like I was like, I think it's because like, well, I'll just be totally honest with you. My husband is like the first person that I ever like long-term dated.
Okay.
Like I hooked up, I dated here and there, sure. but I just never.
What was the longest before him?
Because
you're speaking my language right now.
Oh yeah. Like
it was like 3 or 6 months tops.
Yeah. Maybe like like when I lived in Italy, I dated somebody for like a month.
Yeah.
Like when I was in New York, I would like hook up with a guy at work for like 3 months, but like, yeah, you know, but like no, we would never get dinner. You know
girlfriend.
What I mean? Yeah. Like, so but I honestly, like when I was like 27, I started going to therapy for other reasons too, but that was when I started therapy, which I'm like very pro and I think everyone needs to go to therapy.
Yeah.
But like I started talking to my therapist about like, I don't know why I'm not interested in dating. I need to get into dating. And so like through therapy and stuff, I started to like more focus on dating. And then I met my husband when I was 29.
Oh wow.
So that's kind of why I just wasn't focused on it. And then once I focused on it, I did meet somebody. And then we broke up for 6 months after we were together for a year, and then we got back together and like stayed together and got engaged and married and had kids.
Wait, can I ask if you uncovered anything in therapy about why you weren't dating or why you weren't focused on dating?
You know, yeah, I think it was like, that's a great question. That is a really great fucking question because now it's so long ago.
Right.
And the therapy moved so quickly into like all my problems with my husband, my boyfriend / then husband, that like, yeah, I think it was kind of like I was very focused on career and social life, but that was not romantic. And I was just like, didn't want anything to take away from that. I'm like a true extrovert. Like I get energy from being around other people.
Okay.
So like I never was like, I just want to like couple up and like snuggle in bed all day and never see my friends. You know what I mean? Like that was like never my vibe. So I think I just like, I wasn't focusing on it until I was like, oh, wait, this is like what you do kind of. And not everybody needs to do this, but I was kind of like, I do want a partner in life.
So I have to like take the necessary
steps. And I never
steps.
Cared about getting married. My husband's the one that wanted to get married.
Really?
I just always knew I wanted to have kids. And so I said to him, I was like, we do not have to get married. I just want to have kids. And he said, oh, if we have kids, I think we should be married. And I was like, no problem. So
wait, that's fascinating actually to me. Do you? Okay.
I was like, let's Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell this shit.
Are
you
they
know?
Not married?
They're not married. They have multiple kids, a lifelong like love.
Overboard was a big movie in my childhood.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably got a little horny over Overboard.
Oh, yeah. Construction daddy.
Yeah.
Like I'm all sweaty and stuff. Put me over his shoulder. oh, no, what were we talking about? Now I'm thinking about Carousel.
I know.
Oh. Wanting kids but not necessarily needing to be married. Did you want at least like a partner with those kids?
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny? When I was a kid, I was obsessed with Look Who's Talking, like, you know, the movie with the talking baby. And Kirstie Alley is like the guy who she has the baby with, like kind of is out of the picture. And I used to, when I watched that movie, it like resonated with me. And I was like, I want to be a single mom. I want to just have it be me and the kid. Like, I think that looks really fun and I don't need a boy. You know what I mean? Like, cause I was like so young that I was like, I don't want a boy. I was like, I really want that. And so that was like, so I think maybe in the back of my mind, I thought
like I could
always have kids alone. I think being a mom is so fucking hard.
I bet.
And I have a partner. And so I give so much respect to every single mom out there. Like, it is so fucking hard. But I wouldn't, like, now that I've grown up, I'm like, I wouldn't, like, seek out single momhood.
Sure.
But I could probably do it alone, but it is, like, a lot. I can't believe, like, these moms that, like, have four kids, single mom. Like, it's so hard.
Like under five.
Yeah, it's so hard.
I can't imagine.
I think then I was like, yeah, I want a partner to have the kids with. But yeah. I just don't care about, I never grew up being like, oh, this is what my wedding dress is going to look like.
Sure.
And like, this is what the day is going to be like. I mean, we had the best wedding. Our wedding was so awesome. It was at my summer camp.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've been to a wedding at a summer camp.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was so amazing. And like everybody that came was like, that was the most fun wedding. So I'm happy I did it. But in general, I kind of think they're stupid, you know?
Oh. I mean,
weddings. Yeah,
you're absolutely. I mean, I like money.
It's just like a huge, so like, yeah. Some comedian I just saw on my show and I'm reaching for their name right now. Oh, it was like Lindsay Adams, her and her husband eloped or they just got married in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I'm not going to spend like $25,000 so that like I can feed people I hate or something like that. So that people I hate can eat my money. That's what she said. She was like, so they can eat my money. And
people
I was like, I thought that was so funny.
The people going to her wedding are people she hates.
Well, you do have to invite so many of like your parents, friends and shit. And you're just like, yeah, you're just eating my money.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I have to be clear. I don't love going to weddings.
Oh,
I
see.
Don't.
That's where we are different.
Well, you're an extrovert.
I love weddings.
No. Too much small talk. A lot of people I don't know or care about.
Oh, see, I like mostly go to weddings where I know a lot of people, but I will tell you I've traveled across the country to go to a wedding where I only knew one other person and I had a great time.
You were the date? You were the plus
one? No. I just went and I only knew one of the girl's friends because she was just my friend from like a specific time in my life where we didn't meet a lot of each other's friends. Or we did, but like I knew some of her college friends.
Sure.
And they all went to Harvard. So I'm there just like the fucking... like
Trinity
scum off the sludge off the bottom of Trinity's shoe. Yeah. And so like,
but did you crush it?
Yeah, no, I love to meet new people. I'll like memorize everything about you in the first, like, you know, so that's to me like a challenge, but I was also at that time, 26, seven.
Sure.
I was younger. I don't know now that I would do that, but I do love a wedding. I just think the dancing is fun. The free alcohol is fun for me. The food. Yeah.
I guess there is something.
Dressing up, like getting a little
you
cute.
You do like dressing up.
I don't
okay.
love dressing up, but like, I don't know, getting a nice picture of me and my husband together.
Sure.
I don't know. I like it.
And is it usually kid free? Like you don't have your kids
Hell
with you?
Yeah. My wedding was no kids and.
At a summer camp, but no kids.
No, I said you can bring your kids, but they can't come to the actual ceremony or reception. And I hired babysitters.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no. And like the people that came wanted to do the activities themselves. They wanted to like do archery and canoeing.
Talk me through your wedding. Was it a weekend?
Yeah, it was a full weekend. It was at the camp, like during the day on Saturday before the actual ceremony. It was like archery, canoeing, like all that stuff.
Crafts
and you don't want to like do that with your kid. Like I think everybody that had kids at that time was like, yeah, I'm fine to leave them home. And I had a few kids that friends who had just had babies. And I was like, if your baby is existing off of your body, of course you can bring them. But I had babysitters. Because I didn't really want babies pulling focus. That's what they do. They come, they hate it, they scream, they pull focus. I know, I don't like it. I am very pro no kid weddings. And I do think a kid, my daughter's going to be a flower girl at my brother's wedding in the fall.
Cute.
My gay brother's getting married. And
gay marriage.
Yeah. And she's going to be a flower girl. And then as soon as the reception is over and she's had a little bit to eat, it's like, good night. I'm putting them to bed. Yeah.
There's a sleeping pill in her mashed potatoes.
Fully.
Like, baby, I mean, bye-bye.
Yeah, no, my kids go to bed like a clockwork. I drop kick them into their beds and I'm like, good night. We do not have this like 45 minute get to sleep process like, that
oh,
I hear about.
Tired?
I'm like, bed, good night. Here's your, I sing her two songs and I go, okay, enjoy the darkness.
Enjoy the darkness. Yeah. Wait, what time is bedtime in your house?
7.
Stop.
7, she goes to bed. The little boy goes to bed like 6:30.
Oh my, and do they sleep?
Sleeps till 7.
Oh my God.
He's not as good as her. He sleeps until like 5:45, 6, like today, 6, 6:30.
That's still pretty cool.
Yeah, oh no, they have to. They sleep like 12 hours. They have to, like, they're growing. They need to like sleep.
Creepy
as
hell.
They sleep 11 to 12 hours.
Oh my God.
And then they nap. He takes 2 naps during the day. She takes 1.
Oh, it's truly like puppies.
Yeah.
Like, pee all over
the
and
then.
So my ex got, he adopted Peanut.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was fostering. No, it's okay. It was a good thing. Like, honestly, and I haven't talked about this much. First of all, I fostered him at the end of the pandemic. And then as soon as the world started opening up, I was traveling more and more. Mm. And like,
that's tough.
It was wearing on my mental health. Like, I'm an anxious person. So even having him at friends for the weekend, I was consumed with how is he doing, blah, blah, blah. And Madison, my ex, obsessed with him and works from home. And
he can give him all the attention he needs.
Yes. And I see Peanut all the time. I Peanut sit, like, they live a mile away.
Oh, great.
So it's like, it's honestly, I'm like an app.
You're
I'm
respectfully
like,
co-parenting.
I'm a deadbeat dad. Yeah. I pay for his health insurance. You know what I mean?
Aww,
it's like,
I'm
in the mix, but like, and I'm glad I know that I like, am not at the point, I need a dog door and a yard.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I'm not a dog person. Like, I love other people's dogs, but I'm never going to have one of my own. But I did like swoon when I saw that dog of yours on Instagram. I was like, what?
He's
nugget.
So cute. He's like 14 pounds, I think. And he's just like,
that's all I would ever do. I think I would get a small dog.
Yes.
I can't deal with the hair and all the other.
I know. I really thought I was a cat person, but now I just don't know if I'm a living creature person.
I'm impressed you have a plant you're keeping alive.
You know,
I don't have any of those.
During the pandemic, I kind of redid my apartment and I had enough love left over to start getting plants.
Yeah.
I see why it's a good like first step, because they need to be watered once a week.
Yeah.
See, I'm talking to a young mom. I can't believe I'm even saying these things. Like, the dog was too much. Like,
no, listen, everybody has their different things. My life has very much changed now that I have 2 kids.
I bet.
Like, not the same. But, you know, we still like go out and have fun and try to like,
of course,
you know, live. But yeah, I'm never going to have pets. I'm just keeping these children alive, you know?
And again, at some point, the scale tips and they're making their own sandwiches and stuff.
Hopefully will take care of me when I'm like drooling and in diapers. You know what I mean?
Is that one of the selling points of having kids?
No. No, not really. I don't think. That's not like something I ever thought of.
You didn't think about it. Okay,
no, I never thought of that. I just always was like, I want to have kids.
Yeah.
And then like you talk to like some really like kooky comedians that I've talked to before who are like, I can't imagine bringing a kid into this world right now, global warming and wars. And
I'm like,
I guess. Like, but maybe my kid's going to solve global warming.
There you go.
Who knows?
Or start a war.
Yes, probably. My daughter's, she's an Aries. She's very stubborn. I could see her starting a war easily.
And the last thing on the pod is, what is a piece of advice you give to young Kara before she began her sexual journey?
Oh, I would be like, loosen up. Just fucking like, I think I just was like, I don't know how to flirt and like whatever. I don't know. I just think I wish I hadn't been like so sex negative or like, you know.
Sure.
Just thinking like that like certain things were slutty or certain things were, and like the way that we used to treat girls when we were growing up, when you found out they had sex, like I'm sure now it's very different, hopefully, but just like the slut shaming that would happen over like stuff that was totally natural and normal and like, you know.
Damaged goods.
Yeah. Like, ugh.
Oh, she's a slut. She sucked my dick at a party. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you got
your dick sucked.
Like, she's a hero.
Yeah. I wish I would have told myself virginity is like a full, like.
A farce.
A straw man argument. Like, yeah. It's a full farce and that it doesn't matter, like, you know, when you lose it, but like, be safe or whatever. But like, you know.
Not built
yeah,
up.
Yeah, not build up all that
stress around it.
Yeah.
Were you an anxious person?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I wouldn't say I'm very anxious.
That's great. Can I have some?
I have other problems, I'm sure.
Where can people find you?
You can listen to my podcast, That's Messed Up, and SVU Podcast, which is on Apple and Amazon Music and all these other places, amazing. Wherever you pod. And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter at just Kara Klink, my name. And if you live in the Los Angeles area, I have a Wednesday show every Wednesday at Bar Bandini in Echo Park.
Oh, great
Zach
show.
Zach has done it.
Always a killer lineup. I know on my lineup, it was like John Early.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Lee.
Oh, yeah. That one was big.
It was a good.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like, was that one of the first? Oh, no.
We were one of
the
first to come back like in July when things were opening up. And so our show had like massive crowds at the beginning.
Yo.
We still have a good
yeah,
crowds,
yeah.
But it's not like quite to the back of the parking lot like
parking
it was.
Lot, she packed out this parking
lot. Because it was like, but it was just like people only had like four comedy shows to go to.
Yeah.
Now there are a few more options, but you know.
Still, you're putting
still,
out a, you're putting
it's
out
a good,
good
show.
Shit.
It's at a wine bar and it's fucking free. So come on by.
Ooh, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.